So back to politics for a moment. After winning the GOP primary race in Kentucky on Tuesday, defeating the GOP leadership's handpicked candidate, a man endorsed by the Senate Minority Leader himself, Mitch McConnell, political novice Rand Paul was feeling some momentum.
I have a message from the Tea Party, a message that is loud and clear and does not mince words. We've come to take our government back.
But less than a week later, that momentum seems to have stalled after comments about the oil disaster in the Gulf.
What I don't like from the president's administration is this sort of, you know, I'll put my boot heel on the throat of BP. I think that sounds really un-American in his criticism of business.
And also after having to explain other remarks that suggested that the federal government had no business enforcing civil rights, that localities could handle it.
Do you think that a private business has a right to say we don't serve black people?
I'm not in favor of any discrimination of any form. But I think what's important about this debate is not getting into any specific gotcha on this, but asking the question, what about freedom of speech? What I was asked by the Courier-Journal, and I stick by it, is that I do defend and believe that the government should not be involved with institutional racism or discrimination or segregation in schools, busing, all of those things. But had I been there, there would have been some discussion over one of the titles of the civil rights.
Rand Paul there, whether it's a gotcha or not, certainly explaining himself on the Rachel Maddow show on MSNBC. Joining us now is Rehan Salam, fellow at the New America Foundation. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
A couple of things going on in the Rand Paul race. First of all, do you think he's damaged himself by having to explain these positions, which, while maybe you know understandable to people who think in libertarian terms, certainly seem naive if you think about 20th century history?
I absolutely think he's damaged himself, and I think that actually most libertarians have also distanced themselves from those remarks. So I think that, you know, this is a real opportunity for his Democratic opponent, Jack Conway, to catch up.
And he would have us believe, Rand Paul would, that this is all about local politics, that he canceled an appearance on Meet the Press, doesn't want to talk about this civil rights business anymore, going back to Kentucky to just campaign. Is that a good bet here?
Well, I think it's certainly a coherent argument. I think it's not obvious that appearing on Meet the Press would have actually been beneficial to him, insofar as I think this has become one of these, you know, beltway media frenzies. But I also think that it would have been an opportunity for him to clarify his position. So it could be a vote of no confidence in his own abilities as a communicator. Overall, I think that it makes sense for him to really distance himself, not just from the civil rights remarks, but also from some remarks he's made that about British Petroleum and about regulation of business in general that make him seem a little bit otherworldly and not attuned to some of the concerns, the visceral concerns that a lot of Americans have. One of the things that have been most appealing about his libertarian message is this idea that big business oftentimes works hand in glove with big government, and that that's something that conservatives, libertarians, and the Tea Party movement ought to oppose. But then he's lost sight of that message with the BP remarks, and I think that's a big problem.
Well, you know, the question of Rand Paul's viability as a candidate will be determined in November. But I'm wondering if this is also something of an indictment of the Washington media hysteria, focusing on an issue that certainly has some kind of national cachet, but is probably irrelevant to a lot of the people in Kentucky who aren't directly affected by the civil rights experience of the 1960s. I mean, this really is attempting to connect data points with Joe Sestak's race, Rand Paul's race, the race over the weekend in Hawaii that really don't connect.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But what I'd also say is that it's an indictment of journalists who didn't press Rand Paul on these issues more effectively before the primary.
A good point.
I think that you had plenty of statements out there long before, this particular incident on Rachel Maddow's show. And good for Rachel Maddow, in a way, for teasing this out and pinning him to get him to express his discomfort about this issue where he clearly didn't have a very good answer.
All right, so let's look at the Joe Sestak race. We just had him on the program a little while ago, and he said that he's running a race in Pennsylvania and that it's wrong to cast him as some sort of representative of a national movement. What do you believe?
I think that's a fair thing for him to say, but I actually think that he's exactly the kind of candidate that President Obama needs to contain the damage for Democrats come November. I think that he comes from the populist left. He's able to present himself as a fresh face. And I think that his messages, his politics, aren't all that different from how Arlen Specter was voting at the end of his tenure. But that's because Joseph Sack was providing this pressure for Specter to be a little bit more attuned to the interests of the little guy. And I think that, you know, I don't always agree with Joseph Sack, but in a funny way, he has a lot of parallels with someone like Rand Paul as a kind of anti-establishment figure. So I think that he really does represent what Democrats should hope is a national movement.
But what we're seeing here is that the anti-establishment movement is bipartisan. If Rand Paul goes down in the fall, and it's a long time between now and then, does the Tea Party's fortunes go with him?
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that you saw an interesting election a little while ago in which in upstate New York, a candidate named Doug Hoffman, who was a very ideological candidate who didn't know very much about issues in his own congressional district, lost. You could attribute it to all kinds of things, but the fact that he couldn't answer questions about the local military base, couldn't really answer basic questions about the needs of those voters, could have had a lot to do with the fact that he lost. Similarly, the most
let's just hold that.
Sure.
So the idea of drafting people who aren't local to sort of come into districts, even if they seem vulnerable, and try to win races is really what's being discredited here.
I think that Rand Paul is running as a candidate of the Tea Party, and he hasn't done enough to say why he's going to be very good at representing Kentucky and the interests of Kentuckians. That is going to be the most effective countercharge from Democrats.
Well, he's probably going to be thinking about that now, canceling that appearance on Meet the Press. He's got a lot to think about. Rehan Salam, for giving us a lot to think about, thanks so much.
Thanks, you.
Rand Salam is from the New America Foundation. He joined us from New York.
Rand Paul has time to think about it because he's canceling a lot of national interviews.
Yes, he does. And we'll see how he emerges there in Kentucky, because the question of whether this is a national or local situation, whether these data points do connect or do not connect, I think Rehan Salam makes a good point.
I dispute the idea that they're obscure issues, though. I think these kind of issues come up in legislation all the time in terms of civil rights and American with disabilities.
Oh, I don't think it's obscure. I think the Tea Party would have us believe that the Constitution is kind of an unfunded mandate, and I don't think people are buying it. I think that's what Rand Paul's all about.
I think that's true. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Huckaberry. This is The Takeaway.